This week, the country marks 7 years since the signing of the River Talais Peace Agreement. So this week, the River Talais Peace Agreement to resolve the conflict in South Sudan marks 7 years since its signing. The agreement was meant to silence the gun, rebuild trust, and also pave the way towards democratic governance. But today, the country finds itself at another crossroads. So the detention of the first vice president and other senior politicians, along with the ongoing court cases linked to political disputes, has raised fresh doubts about the spirit and survival of the peace deal. So critics argue that the agreement is literally dead, pointing to delays in security reforms, weak institutions, and accusations that the SPLM in government has been replacing coalition partners with one-party dominance. So where does this leave the peace agreement? What does this moment mean for South Sudanese as it prepares for a crucial election period? So joining us this morning to reflect on these issues and all this development is Abraham Kwal, Associate Professor of Political Science at University of Juba. Good morning, Abraham, and thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be back to Binai FM.
Yes. As I mentioned earlier, that 7 years after signing this peace agreement, many say that this agreement is on life support. So from your perspective, is the agreement still alive?
Well, what I would like to say, thank you very much, and it's a very crucial questions that need to be understood by the South Sudanese, also by the international community and government at the same time, whether the agreement is still alive or the agreement is dead. You know, we know that this peace agreement was signed for a period of 3 years, and within the 3 years, we expect the signatories, the party to the peace agreement, to speed it and make sure that all the issues, that all the chapters are implemented in accordance to the peace agreement. Mm-hmm. But that has not been the case. Now, 7 years down the line, it is trying to tell us that it is already above almost 120% increase extension from the time it was meant, because the peace agreement was supposed to be meant for 3 years. It has gone for 2 more years. It has gone for another 2 more years. And now we are not even sure whether it will continue to extend. Mm. What does that thing tell us? When this RRCs was signed in 2018, it brought hope to the people of South Sudan that we are going to silence the guns, that we are going to have peace, we are going to stay as brothers and sisters, but that has not been the case. And one of the reasons why it has not been the case is a peace agreement is used by the political elites as a tool to frustrate the people of South Sudan more. Mm. Why? Because the peace agreement is meant to maintain people in their positions, and which means the purpose of RRCs has moved from bringing stability, peace, and good life to the people of South Sudan to making individual people to be always in power. Which means when a peace agreement is not only working, if individual person is not an MP, is not a minister, is not in a commission, that is when we realize there is no peace agreement. Mm. What does that thing mean? The peace agreement was ejected from the people of South Sudan 4 years ago when the extension started, because it changed from what it was people-centered and what it was meant to liberate and what it was meant to stabilize the life of people of South Sudan to what it means to stabilize the life and the families of individual leaders who are signatories to the peace agreement. Mm. And as a result of this, it doesn't matter to the people of South Sudan at this specific point whether the peace agreement is dead or alive. What is very important is what is that thing that the president or the people in the government or the leaders in South Sudan, whether you're opposition or you are in the government, what is that thing that you can do to restore the glory to the people of South Sudan by believing that you are not a selfie leader, you are not a leader that works for yourself, but you are a leader that was destined to bring the people of South Sudan to the good life.
Mm. And with all this, Professor, do you think really the country will go to election or will go for another extensions?
Well, you know, the trajectory is that the people of South Sudan would wish to have election because every peace agreement has exit strategy.
Yes.
If you look at CPA, the exit strategy was referendum. Mm-hmm. Okay? Now, if you look at RRCs, the exit strategy is election. Now, because of the mistrust between the current leaders and the public, they don't want election. Mm-hmm. And as a result of this, if there is a possibility of people to hold election, that is the only way that the people of South Sudan can accept the leaders and bring them back, the leader that they trust, and dumped the leaders that they don't trust. Mm. And as things stand now, the chances are high that election is not a possible thing. Why? Because election is like the current leaders trying to say, we are going home, we are going to be punished by the public, and our families will be suffering. So the leaders will oppose it, not because there are no condition upholding it. So the leaders are the stumbling block to the exit strategy to RRCs.
To protect themselves.
Their interests, yes.
So now the recent development is the detention of first vice president and also other political detainees. And this has shocked many. So what does this mean to power sharing and also the spirit of the agreement?
Well, you know, we are in what we call the coalition government. And the coalition government has got hierarchies. That is one thing that we always forget when we talk about peace agreement. Mm-hmm. So what is happening about the detention of the first vice president and whatever happened within the detention of others, to me, I will take it as issues within the coalition government of national unity. Mm-hmm. And those are things that we should not be concerned about them. Why? Because there are issues dealing with the hierarchies with the peace agreement. And you know what? In every government, there is one in charge. President Kiir, as we speak now, despite the fact that it is a coalition government, President Kiir plus the first vice president are the voice of the public. Mm. And because they are the voice of the public, it's like a family. You know, government is like a family. So when President Kiir disagrees with the first vice president, put him in prison, it's like an elder brother is disagreeing with his younger brother and try to mistreat him because he believed he was the firstborn. And as a result of this, the family of the young boy will not be happy for that because they are looking at this. The elder brother is trying to suppress the younger brother. Mm-hmm. And this is how the government works. So the supporters of the first vice president will never sleep. They will never be happy. They will see that they are marginalized. They will see into it that, and the concept that in South Sudan, we had leaders who make other people to be like their supporters and they support them. Mm-hmm. So removing them from power is like the whole world has come to an end. So you could see into that for the last 6 months, since the first vice president been under house arrest, what do you think about the people that he has been feeding? What do you think that about the people that he gave them the position? What do you think about the people that he gave the prestige to talk on his behalf, that we are in the circle of power? It means all those people have been silent and they could not speak any longer. Now, what are you also thinking from other side? From the president's side, people are so proud. They said we had put him in prison. They said he can never speak any longer. They said we have disciplined his people. So such a kind of rhetorics, they could indicate to us that our house, our family, the country called South Sudan, is going to face more problem. Mm-hmm. Why? Because we don't see our country as where we belong. We are not patriotic, but we pay allegiance to individual leader. Some of these leaders are liberators, Kiir and the first vice president, plus the rest. They liberate this country. But the fact remains that you cannot destroy what you liberate. And that is the point where we need to talk to both of them, persuade them, tell them you cannot destroy your own family that you had built.
Mm. But Professor Abraham, with all this detention of first vice president and other political detainees and also the court cases that might start anytime soon from now, don't you think this will affect the trust among the peace partners?
Well, trust is a gone case. Mm-hmm. sincerely, the label under which we have reached now, when the first vice president was put in prison, the level of trust is reduced to below negative zero, if there is something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because, you see, if you look at how the RRCs were signed in 2018, there were two outstanding issues. One outstanding issue was the issue of 32 states. The opposition through the first vice president, current one, were saying that you must revert to 10 states. The current vice president, the current first vice president were also saying that the security arrangement must be done in a good way, which means we must have two armies. And I must have my force for my own security. Now, the president did the best compromise because peace is a matter of compromising. So the president revert the 32 states into 10 states and said, over to you, Riek Machar.
Yes.
It is only about security. And Riek said, okay, I compromise because I also love people of South Sudan and I'm fighting for their freedom. And as a result of this, I gave my life and I will come to Juba under the security president here.
Mm.
Now things have fallen apart now. And because things have fallen apart, even if Riek Machar was to be released today and he will be told to go to his office where he used to go, he will even stay in his house. Why? Because he does not trust that he will reach to his office and come back to his house.
Safe.
So as a result of this, that put us at a critical juncture. But I will tell you one thing. Whether you know why we cannot care whether RRC is dead or alive?
Mm-hmm.
South Sudanese are very good at documentation. Mm. They write very good documents. They make good resolutions, but they shelve them.
Yeah.
Like what happened to National Dialogue.
Yes.
So RRC is like another document that can be shelved. As long as we live our own life, as long as we go our own business, other people are in prison, other people are in power. To South Sudanese, they don't see that as an issue. Mm. But to the international community, they see that as an issue. Why? Because they want an exit strategy. But my problem to the people who are saying, keeping on holding to the RRCs, RRCs has become a burden to the people of South Sudan because it is prolonging the life and leadership of people who are not needed.
Mm.
So it is better for such a document to be dismantled. We go back to zero and we start from zero.
But now, Professor Abraham, by the way, today we had a talking point about the same topic we are discussing today. Many of our callers, they called, they wrote messages, and they said almost something similar to your point now,
yeah,
that the RSS is now like stopping their life, prolonging
exactly.
their suffering,
exactly.
talking about security, talking about economics, health services, all type of services that the government supposed to deliver in the economy of the country. It's all affected because of that. They are asking, what is the way forward?
What
is the way out of this situation?
The way forward is that, you know, a government or a country is like a family.
Mm-hmm.
The way forward, as we speak now, because I think I was here 2 weeks ago.
Right.
The way forward for this thing is in the hand of only one man, which is President Kiir, who is the president of this country. Whatever the pressure the citizens put on him, whatever the pressure the internal community put on him, whatever the pressure the family put on him, will never make sense. He has to decide to bring back the glory that he began fighting from the very beginning.
Mm.
Even if that thing means him sacrificing his life. Which means the only final decision is in hand.
Mm.
Because the fact remains that since we don't care about RRC because it has kept us hostage. And that is why I'm an advocate saying that RRC is useless.
Yeah.
Why? Because it is in fact enriching some individual who are coming to kill us because they use the same money that they acquired through their position to come and kill more South Sudanese. So for how long are we continuing to die? In the name of individual who want to remain in power. For how long? And that is why I'm saying, see, if Riek was free, I would have said President Kiir and Riek need to sit down and they need to exit us out of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
But see, Riek is in prison, he has no voice. And that is why I'm saying, the ball is rolling in the court of the president, period.
Now, Professor Abraham, that critics say that SPLM-IN government is consolidating power by sidelining coalition partners. Do you see this as a threat to multi-party democracy in South Sudan?
Well, that is true, because if you look at when the first by president was arrested, I think I talked to different media, and I said this thing is meant to consolidate for the President Kiir to consolidate power, and also for the SPLM to consolidate power. But the issue is here now, at the point we have reached, is not about who get which power. It is about who is rescuing the life of people in South Sudan. It is about who is not going to make sure that more people are killed. It is about who is going to make us to be free to work as brothers and sisters. That is the point we have reached now. Because all these people, remember the SPLM, whether Kiir, whether Riek, whether Wu, whether Pagan, you call them, whether those people who are even called Soma, they are all SPLM. So the all opposition that are coming now, there are new parties that are coming up. And that is why we need election, because that is the only way it will give an opportunity to these upcoming parties to be able to express their interest and make sure that the people of South Sudan can either give them an opportunity to come to leadership or not. But if they cannot be given an opportunity, how can they come on board? You can also see into it that even the RRCs itself, from the very beginning, you see the leaders of those parties, they end up appointing their wife, their children, and their cousins. So, which means they were fighting for their own family. They were not fighting for the interests of people of South Sudan. And you could even see the same trajectory is happening now. Right. And that is what even we need to ask the president, if he listened. The new trajectory which is happening now is empowering the children of the liberators. What about the children of the
South Sudanese?
What about the children of the South Sudanese who are giving Dura? We're giving their energy, we're giving their time to make sure that they nudge the liberation. Where are they?
Right. Now, Professor Abraham, let's look at the positive side of this peace agreement, if there are any. Looking back, what achievements, if any, stand out from the peace process since the signing of this peace agreement?
Well, the fact remains that since the signing of peace agreement, there are positive things. The fact, number one, is that we have seen into it that our leaders were able to compromise and they were able to come together and they were able also to sit as brothers and sisters. That is a positive aspect. Number two is that the level of conflict across the country was reduced. Violence across the country was reduced. That is the fact. Number three is the fact that South Sudanese have a confidence that there is a document that is called the RRCs, which is supposed to bring stability to the country. So to me, those are the positive aspects that the current peace agreement has come. So the RRCs has got both negative and positive aspects.
Okay. Professor, now what option or what options remain if the peace agreement collapses, or a renewed negotiation, external mediation, or a different political framework altogether? What is going to happen once this agreement is no longer working?
Well, this might be seen as an accusation against our neighboring countries, but you have seen some politicians have come out from Uganda and Kenya saying that they are putting South Sudan hostage because they are benefiting because of our conflict. So the next step forward is that in case this peace agreement collapses, the president need to declare the state of emergency and mostly even go as far as even dissolving the government and trying to transform what we call a transitional committee, including Benivi will be the one that will head to take the country to the next step. Now, we have seen the IGAD had been doing their best, and we appreciate them as people of South Sudan for the effort done. They make sure that the first peace agreement was signed in 2005, which led to the referendum and the independence of South Sudan. That is something IGAD can be appreciated for. It has also led to the 2015 peace agreement and currently the 2018 peace agreement. But you know, one of the very big problems with IGAD and other regional organizations is that they don't have a security enforcement mechanism that has created big internal issues within the South Sudan government. And as a result of this, every country is always a sovereign state and it has to do its own thing without interfering. Now, it is the right time for the president to look into the laws that are existing and let everybody to be accountable based on what the law of the government or what the law of the people or the law of South Sudan said. Because, you know, including President Kiir should not be above the law. Because law is that is the source of sovereignty. Because since 1648, which was when the Westphalian Treaty was signed, which gave the legitimacy to the independent rebel state and the concept lack of interference. Now, despite the fact that that thing was originated in Europe, that has become the best practices that every country use all over the world. And South Sudan is not an isolated case.
Mm.
And as a result of this, we have seen several envoys coming from African Union, from IGAD, but that has become a mere talk. I think it is time, either I'm not even calling for civil disobedience, but it will come to the time that if our leaders are not careful, that will be the result of what will happen. Because by the end of the day, it is either they rescue themselves by furnishing people who are creating more problems and make the people of South Sudan to be happy, or else the people of South Sudan by the end of the day will be on their neck, all of them. It doesn't matter whether you are a government or your opposition, it will be the anger for the citizens against the leaders who have been dragging us through the mud all this time.
Mm.
And that is what we have to be careful with.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, finally, with the recent presentation of the head of RGMEC report at the parliament, he was warning that the country might slide back to conflict. So what must leaders prioritize in months ahead to prevent the country from going back to conflict?
Well, let me tell you this. I don't always believe in the report of RGMEC. I don't believe in the report of those UN. Why? Because there are some of the people from the international community who had become parasites to the people of South Sudan. In fact, South Sudan has become a feeding ground. That even RGMEC people, they want the conflict to drag on because they are only getting job. And if they are getting job, what do you think will make them to continue not to talk about something that drag us on? And as a result of this, if we are talking about people going back to war, we are already at war. People are continuing dying in the villages. People are dying along the road. Did they rescue the life of individual people and dying on the road? They are getting their salary.
They are monitoring body, you know.
Though I know they are monitoring, but what are they monitoring? People keep on dying. What are they preventing from the monitoring mechanism? I'm speaking as an expert. Because if you are monitoring, you know the role of monitoring and evaluation is to prevent the damage. That is the best practice. So what are they monitoring if the damage continues to escalate? What are they monitoring? If they are not making their mandate because they have the security body, which is got a joint post with SSPDF and some of those things, but either through RGMEC and the security mechanism, all of them are not doing anything enough to make sure that they reserve the life of the people of South Sudan. So if we go back to conflict, we had already been on conflict. So that kind of warning, it doesn't make sense to us.
But now what should the government and Kiir do to prevent anything from becoming worse?
Okay, what we need to say, and that is why I'm saying this is where the leadership is needed.
Yes.
The leadership is needed because the international community, including RGMEC, should not give us an empty tears. They should tell us that if they are really monitoring, they should see how do they stop each South Sudanese not to lose their life on every day. They should also try to even give pressure to international community for the people who are bringing problems in South Sudan to be indicted, even international court of justice. Okay? They should also make sure that they advise the president, because they are also a advising body, advise the president to see into it that how are the spoilers will be kept accountable. Because in all this scenario, there are spoilers. Okay? So, in fact, they are saying, oh, let us make peace, oh, let us make RRC. When they want spoilers, what is the difference between a leader who is making 10 people to die in the name of him to remain in the position? So what they could say, they need to come out very clearly and say it, enough is enough. If you are an opposition and you have been seen instigating conflict, They will join hand with the government because this is a national government, which has the opposition and everybody. They need to join the hand with the government and make sure that that person is punished. That is when I believe that they are for the people of South Sudan. Mm-hmm. But if they believe that, like, for example, you know, when the first vice president was put in prison, some people ran away. Some people are instigating violence. Okay? Some people began even trying to make sure that the areas, either from the government, I'm not saying from opposition alone, from the government and from the opposition, you know, the containment areas are no more.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay? Why are they no more? That is something we need to ask. Who did that? Is it somebody from the government? They need to be kept accountable. Mm-hmm. Is it somebody from opposition? They need to be kept accountable. But they are now saying, oh, there is peace agreement. What is peace agreement when people are dying? Okay? When they don't want to make somebody who make those people to die accountable. This is where my problem is.
Mm. Otherwise, Dr. Professor Abraham Kwal, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Unless you have anything else to add.
Well, thank you very much. What I want to say is that we want to know as South Sudanese, this country belongs to all of us. Nobody was born a leader. Nobody was born for. Nobody was born a peasant. Mm-hmm. Nobody was born a farmer. Nobody was born not to be in front of the people. Mm-hmm. It depends that we must be patriotic to this country. We must believe that we are brothers and sisters. And we must believe anybody who is against all of us should be our victim. That is my last statement.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Abraham Kwal, Associate Professor of Political Science at the University of Juba. هو كان بيساعدنا عشان نلقي نظرة أمولية على وضع اتفاقية السلام المنشط بعد 7 سنوات من توقيعه. فعلا في تقدم لكن برضو في تحديات مستمرة في تنفيذ بتاع الاتفاقية بما في ذلك اعتقال كبار الساسة والقضايا العالقة أمام المحاكم وكمان الاتهامات بسيطرة حزب واحد على المشهد السياسي. جنوب السودان اليوم بيواجه أسئلة صعبة حول ما إذا كان الاتفاق ده لا يزال قادر على تحقيق السلام والاستقرار.